Thank you and good morning. Welcome to Bible Talk. This morning I want to talk about a subject that is not pleasant to talk about, but it is a Bible subject and therefore we need to address it. I'm talking about the subject of hell. Many religious leaders who may believe in the reality of hell and its horrors do not preach on it because it's not received well or because such preaching is ridiculed and made fun of by many. Well, it's true that preaching on hell is not received well and hell ranks high on the jokester's hit parade. But hell is no joke. It is real. The Bible that tells us of a wonderful heaven also tells us of an awful hell. If we are to proclaim the whole counsel of God, we must preach on hell. Now, there are different views that people have of hell. Some people view hell as annihilation. In other words, one who goes to hell just ceases to exist. Others believe that hell is just the hardships that the wicked endure in this life as a result of their sins. And others deny the concept of hell being an eternal torment because they cannot conceive of a loving God sending people to an eternal torment. Well, all of these concepts of hell cannot be true. Someone is wrong because there's only one true concept of hell. The question is, what does the Bible say? Well, there are three Greek words which are translated by the one English word hell in the King James Version of the Bible. Well, this fact has caused some confusion among many people in their understanding of the Bible on this subject. The Greek words are Hades, Tartarus, and Gehenna. Now, Hades is where spirits go when they die, both the righteous and the unrighteous. It is the realm of disembodied spirits. And this is not hell, because we know when Jesus died that he went to Hades, and we know that he didn't go to hell. In Acts 2 and verse 27, Peter quotes a prophecy of David concerning the resurrection of Christ. It says, "For you will not leave my soul in Hades, nor will you allow your Holy One to see corruption." You see, Jesus' soul went to Hades, but it was not left there. In other words, he was raised from the dead. But our point is, Jesus went to Hades, but he did not go to hell. He went to paradise. While on the cross, he said to one of the thieves who was crucified with him, "Assuredly I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise." Luke 23, verse 43. And so the day Jesus died, he went to paradise, which depicts comfort and peace. So he went to Hades, but he also went to paradise. Our conclusion then is that paradise is a part of Hades. Hades is not hell. But we also learn in Luke chapter 16, verses 19 to 31, in the story of the rich man and Lazarus, that the rich man, who was unrighteous, died and ended up in Hades in torment. Therefore, torment is also a part of Hades. The righteous, when they die, then go to paradise in Hades, and the unrighteous go to torment in Hades. And so Hades is where the spirits of men go when they die. And so this is not the Gehenna hell, the place of final eternal punishment. Now, the second Greek word is the word Tartarus, and it's found only once in the New Testament scriptures, and that is in 2 Peter 2 and verse 4. Peter says, "For if God did not spare the angels who sinned, but cast them down to hell," that is Tartarus, "and delivered them into chains of darkness to be reserved for judgment." Now, Tartarus is where God casts the disobedient angels. They are delivered into chains of darkness to be reserved for judgment. Now, possibly this realm is the same as the torment in Hades where the unrighteous dead go. The unrighteous men who die and the disobedient angels are there awaiting the day of judgment. And then the third Greek word is the word Gehenna. And it is a transliteration from the Aramaic form of the Hebrew Gehinnom, meaning Valley of Hinnom. Now, the Valley of Hinnom was a real valley. It was a deep, narrow valley south of Jerusalem. It had been a place where the children of Israel had engaged in idolatrous worship, including the burning of their children in sacrifice to Molech. Read 2 Chronicles 28, verse 3. Later, King Josiah got rid of the idolatrous worship and defiled the place. Well, this valley became the symbol of the place of everlasting punishment for the wicked. Jesus used this word to refer to the eternal fire, the final eternal punishment. Our word hell, the place of eternal punishment, then, is the correct rendering of the word Gehenna. Well, who believes in hell? Well, we know that Jesus did. The word Gehenna is found 12 times in the New Testament Scriptures, and 11 of those times it is used by Jesus in His public ministry. One is in Mark 9, verses 43 and 44, where Jesus said, "If your hand causes you to sin, cut it off. It is better for you to enter into life maimed rather than having two hands to go into hell, into the fire that shall never be quenched, where their worm does not die and the fire is not quenched." Also in Matthew 25, verses 31 through 46, Jesus presents the judgment scene. And He says that when the Son of Man comes, He will sit on the throne of His glory. All the nations will be gathered before Him, and He will separate them one from another as a shepherd divides his sheep from the goats. And He will set the sheep on His right hand, but the goats on the left. He will say to those on the left hand, "Depart from me, you cursed, into the everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels." Verse 41. In verse 46, He said that these will go away into everlasting punishment. And so can we doubt that Jesus, our Lord, believed in hell and eternal punishment for the wicked? Well, no. He believed in it, and He taught it. And also the apostles believed in hell. The apostle Paul wrote, "And to give you who are troubled rest with us when the Lord Jesus is revealed from heaven with His mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on those who do not know God and on those who do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. These shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of His power." That's 2 Thessalonians 1, verses 7 through 9. Also, Revelation 21, verse 8 says, "But the cowardly, unbelieving, abominable, murderers, sexually immoral, sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death." So can we read such passages and not believe in hell? You know, to reject a belief in hell is to reject the Bible. If we believe the Bible is the Word of God, then we must believe in hell. Well, what is hell and what is it like? Well, first of all, in the passages that we've already read, hell is described as eternal fire. It is a fire that shall never be quenched, Mark 9, verse 43. In explaining the parable of the tares, Jesus said, "The Son of Man will send out His angels, and they will gather out of His kingdom all things that offend and those who practice lawlessness, and will cast them into the furnace of fire. There will be wailing and gnashing of teeth." That's Matthew 13, verses 41 and 42. You know, sometimes the question is asked, is hell a place of literal fire? Well, probably not fire as we know it. But we can be assured that whatever it is, hell is a place of suffering and unbearable pain. This is the picture that fire conveys to our minds, and that the Lord intended to convey. You know, the tremendous suffering and hurt of the flames of fire is indescribable. And yet, this is what our Lord says hell is like. Let me tell you, we cannot afford to go to hell. The Bible also describes hell as a place of outer darkness. In Matthew 25, 14 through 30, Jesus tells the parable of the talents. Well, in this parable, the one talent man did not invest his talent to gain more talents, as his Lord required of him. And his Lord was very much displeased. His Lord called him a wicked and lazy servant. And in verse 30, there seems to be a transition here from the parable to reality when Jesus said, "And cast the unprofitable servant into the outer darkness. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth." Well, this is hell. It is described as outer darkness. This is darkness that lies outside of all light. No light whatsoever. Have you ever been down in the caverns and the tour guide turns the lights out? You stand in total darkness, a darkness that is so thick you can slice it with a knife. But after a few moments, the tour guide turns the lights back on. What a relief. Well, in hell, the darkness is forever. And that is my next point. Hell is forever. There's no exit from hell. In Matthew 25, verse 41, those on the left hand at the judgment are told to depart from me, you cursed, into the everlasting fire. And in verse 46, it says that these will go away into everlasting punishment. This passage also talks about the righteous going into eternal life. Well, the same Greek word describing the life as eternal is the word describing the fire and the punishment. It's everlasting. However long the life is for the righteous, that is how long the punishment is for the unrighteous. The fire is eternal. Hell is eternal. In Mark 9, verses 47 and 48, Jesus said, "And if your eye causes you to sin, pluck it out. It is better for you to enter the kingdom of God with one eye rather than having two eyes to be cast into hell fire, where their worm does not die and the fire is not quenched." The image here is that of worms never dying but continuing to eat on the dead carcasses of men while unquenchable fires are burning them but never consuming them. You see, hell is forever. Hell is also an eternal separation from God. Paul said in 2 Thessalonians 1, verses 7 through 9, that those who know not God and who obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, that these shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of His power. And so those in hell will be separated from God. God will not be there. God's goodness will not be there. God's love will not be there. Those in hell may cry out to God, but God will not hear, and that forever. Dear listener, have you ever tried to visualize just what it will mean to be eternally separated from God? You know, someone might be thinking, how can a loving God send anyone to hell as it is described in these passages? Well, I want you to understand that hell does not tell us how unloving and terrible God is, but it tells us how terrible sin is. You see, hell is the just punishment for sin. The wages of sin is death, Romans 6 and verse 23. God is a just God, and justice demands that sinful man be punished in hell. But God loves us so much that He wants us to be free from our sins so that we don't have to go to hell. And so He provided a way whereby we can be free from sin and escape the punishment of hell. He sent His Son to die for us. Romans 6:23 says, "Yes, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord." To be saved from sin, we must come to Jesus and render obedience to His gospel. The Hebrew writer says in Hebrews 5 and verse 9 that Jesus is the author of eternal salvation to all who obey Him. We must obey Jesus if we are to be saved from sin. And Jesus commands us to believe in Him, to repent of our sins, to commit our lives to Him, to confess our faith in Him and be baptized for the remission of sins. Peter said to the Jews on the day of Pentecost, "Repent, and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." Acts 2 and verse 38. You see, no one needs to go to hell. The grace of God has been extended to all men. All can come and find salvation from sin. And so why not come to Jesus today and find cleansing from your sins so that you may be saved and so that you may escape the horrors of hell?